York, one of the finest communities in Footsteps. Wait a minute, are you on two sides? Oh, no, no, two are here, and two are there. Two Shiawits is there, and two Shiawits is here. You're president? Were you president when I was there?
That's right.
You're the president who sort of saw me off? Anyway, wonderful, wonderful people, not old friends. Friends, but I mean, it's 32 years now that I'm out of West Hempstead. 32 years, and I still get a very warm spot in my heart for West Hempstead. Welcome to Eretz Yisrael. Enjoy your stay over here, and go back with, you know what kind of message to go back with to West Hempstead, but it's a community of great Aravas Eretz Yisrael. And, yes, Hashem, they're making it little by little. There are no letters to the editor of the Jerusalem Post from anybody. It's been a week now. Nobody. That means we have nothing to talk about that. I do want to say that Lillian Schrader passed away. She came to study Torah for years, till she just wasn't able to anymore. She came even when she wasn't well for a few years. And she was a wonderful, wonderful woman, and we will learn Torah in her memory. I also had an emotional Nichum Avelum last week. On Wednesday, I went to be Menachem Avel Yuli Edelstein, the Yoshev Rosh HaKnesset, whose wife Tanya passed away. I came into the house. He lives in the Beit Daniel. I came into the house, and sitting next to him there is a good friend of mine, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau. You know, we rabbis, we stick together. And I was overwhelmed. Personally, I was overwhelmed with emotion. Yuli saw me, and he just jumped out of his seat, and he came over and embraced me, and then had me sit next to him on his other side, Rav Lau on one side and me on the other side. And Rav Lau did, what's going on? So he had in front of him an album of pictures, and he opened up immediately to the page. There's a picture there of me, Yuli Edelstein, his wife, his daughter, Hanukkah, December 1983, Moscow. He was then one of the dissidents. He was, at the time, he was teaching Hebrew. A year later, he was in prison, beaten badly. 2.5 years in the gulag. Can you imagine? May Ashpos Yochim Evyon the Rebishon raises those who are beaten and downtrodden. Not only that, I remember the day that he was finally permitted to leave the Soviet Union. We had a big Baruch HaMashon for him in Gush Etzion. And he's the speaker of the Knesset, you understand? It's unbelievable what happens in this world. And he's an extremely effective person. So it seems that those people who were able to visit with him and others in those years, which were extremely difficult for them all, like that sort of friendship that remains forever. We talked a great deal, and we've met a number of times over the years. But I haven't seen him now in a while. I remember her well. Anyway, he should be consoled, and Ilui Nishmatar is what we'll learn. What are we going to learn today? Parsha Tetzaveh. So I have a little problem. And the Shir is going to be discussing my problem. V'atot Tetzaveh b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecho Shemen Zayit Zach Katit Lama'or Lahalot Nertoyet. You, command the children of Israel, they should take unto you clear, pure oil, beaten, made special for the purposes of lighting, in order to light, kindle an eternal light in the Mishkan. What I have over there is the Baal Turim. Baal Turim, I have over there on the side, was Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, born in 1269 in Cologne, died in Toledo, Spain, Castile, 1343. Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher is the one who's called the Baal Turim because his contribution to Torah, awesome, one of the greatest of all, following the Rambam, he divided all of Halacha into four separate and distinct parts, and he wrote an entire Shulchan Aruch. Our Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, it's all based on what he had set out. Or Chaim, Yoredeya, Evin Ezer, Choshe Mishpat, the four basic areas of Halacha. It was an encyclopedia, gargantuan work, and everything is built around Rabbi Yaakov Mibalat Turin. Now, he wrote a parish on Chumash. It's a fascinating parish. It's gematrias and all sorts of stuff. There's an apocryphal story that's said about it that the sefer, the tour that he wrote, was that awesome. People didn't believe it was he who wrote it. It had to be his father. His father was Rabbeinu Asher, the Rosh, one of the great Rishonim of all, Rabbeinu Asher. And Rabbeinu Asher was that great that they thought that something written by his son as big as that, his father wrote it. So he said, and if I can write a parish on all of Chumash in one night, will you believe that I wrote this? Said, yeah. So he sat down and in one night, he wrote the entire Baal HaTorah. That's all. That's the story. I don't know if it's so. And there's amazing stuff there, but I have difficulty with one. One of the stainless is the one on the beginning of this Parsha Tetzaveh. And there I have some difficulty. Now, I want you to know this is a real additional homecoming. Somebody else snuck in here just now, you understand? Now, yeah, I can't explain everything to you, but you see, the two came in now, they're the Kesselmans. Now, the Kesselmans, I'm talking with these Shaiwitzes, not with those, with these Shaiwitzes. Because there's a Kesselman young man who married a Shaiwitz young lady, and they're living here. And you know what? They're going to bring the whole family here. They're going to come from Chestnut Street. They're going to come from Adams Avenue. They're going to come from near the highway. What street? What's it? Glover? Huh? All right. Anyway, back to the Baal Turim. So it's a famous Baal Turim. The Baal Turim tells us why, of all things, now people make a mistake, it's not in all of Torah. Those who say that in Torah, from Shmot until the end of Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears in every Seder except one. His name doesn't appear in Tetzaveh. It's not completely true. Because in Dvarim, he does not appear in Ekev, but Ekev, Re'ei, and Shofim. But Mishneh Torah, Dvarim doesn't count because Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu himself speaking. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have to mention his name. But from Shmot until the end of Bamidbar, his name appears in every parsha except here. Why doesn't his name, you know, he appears here as you, Atah, you. God is saying to Moshe, you command the Jewish people. So let's read the first two lines of the Baal Turim. Lo hiskir Moshe b'zeh ha-seder. Moshe is not mentioned in this seder. Ma'asein came b'chol ha-chumish, which is not true, b'chol ha-chumish. But I explained that it doesn't really mean b'chol ha-chumish, because his He also does not appear in many of the parashiyot in the Sefer Devarim. But anyway, Shem Shosh and all that Moshe, from the time he was born, Ein Seder Shalahuskar Bavi Yashor said, in which he's not mentioned. Batam, so the Bava Torah says the reason of this, Mishum Shamar, because he said, Mechenin on the Sifruch Asher Kotafta, Moshe Rabbeinu told God, erase me from the book that you have written, and we're going to see right away the context in which that is said. And if of all things, this statement of Moshe Rabbeinu, erase me, appears in next week's Sedra, Parashat Ki Tisah. So in other words, what it really means is that as far as I'm concerned, this is a share in Parashat Tetzaveh and Parashat Ki Tisah. And since sometimes I'm a coward, and then sometimes I'm not a coward, I'm not going to be here next week. What are you supposed to do when I say I'm not going to be here next week? I have to be away. So you're getting a share now on Tetzaveh and Ki Tisah. Watch this. All right. His name doesn't appear in Parashat Tetzaveh because he said, Mechini no misifu hashet katavta, the killat chacham, the curse of a wise man, afil al tnai ba, even if it's said only on condition. Because he's going to say, if you forgive them, he is pleading for the Jewish people, on behalf of the Jewish people, after they sinned with the golden calf. God wants to destroy them. I'll destroy them and I'll make you into a nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, forget it. Forgive them, and if you don't forgive them, erase me. But God forgave them, which means the condition was met. Moshe Rabbeinu was a difficult and a tough negotiator. He's really challenging the Rebbeinu. It's challenging. Forgive them or else. And God forgave them. So anyway, since this, the Baal HaTorah seems to be saying that this was something terrible that Moshe Rabbeinu did, and therefore, even though the condition was fulfilled, Nitkayem Pazer, it was fulfilled, the sort of a symbolic erasure of Moshe's name from Torah appears in Parashat Tetzaveh. Where is the context? The context is number two. Vayoshev Moshe had gone down from the mountain. He smashed the luchos. He saw the Jewish people dancing around the Ego. He called the Shevet Levi behind him to kill all of those who would worship. And then he goes back up to God to pray again on their behalf. Vayoshev Moshe Hashem. Moshe returned to God and he said, this people has sinned a great sin. By Yasulhem they made Elohim Sohab a god of gold. Now in Tisor Chatosom, if you will bear their sin, forgive their sin, he doesn't have to say what has to be completed, which means that everything is okay. If you refuse, erase me from the Sefer you wrote. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. So that means, you know, I did have a certain degree of problem in disagreeing with the Torah. Torah is too big for me to disagree. But the truth is that one may, because I'm not disagreeing in a matter of halacha. Matter of halacha, oh boy, I need somebody at my back, you know, somebody I can depend on. But I felt a little uncomfortable even trying to say a different chat than the Torah. But then I found in a sefer called Tosefet Bracha that was written by the author of the Torah Tanimah Chumash, and he says, "V'apu Tetzaveh." Read, let's number three. Dovei Yaduahu. It's very well known. He listened to this. You have to very carefully. And you're going to tell me where does something like this usually appear, or where should it appear? He says the following: that the number of parshiot, the sedras in Torah, בכל חמישה חום של תורה הוא 54, there are 54. Does this sound like Torah stats? You know what Torah stats are? Does anybody here read Torah tickets? What the hell is anything going on? Page 3, Torah stats. This is Phil. There are 54 parashiyot. And they work out, Sefer Bereishis has 12, Shmos 11, Vayikra, what is that? 10? Bamidbar.
Yud.
No, yeah, 10. And four of 11.
11.
Ah, but you know what? That means 54. Nun Dalid. Okay? But he brings that the Zohar says that there are 53. Otiot, Gan. The Gan Eden of Torah is 53 parshiot. So the Torah Tmima says, what happened to one parsha according to the Zohar? So he says, most probably what the Zohar has in mind is that Truma and Tetzava are really one parsha. Because Tetzava is a direct continuation of Truma. V'ato Tetzava, you make the Oron, and you make the Mishkan, and you make the Kruvim, and you make the Shulchan, and you make the Menorah, and you make the oil. It's all one parsha. What do we gain according to the Zohar? What we gain according to the Zohar is that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in every parsha. Because if Truma and Tetzava are one, he's mentioned in Truma. It seems that the Zohar is unhappy with the idea of saying that there's one parsha in Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear. Which means I now have license to say, well, maybe there is something more than appears here at first. Take a look. I will be Sefer HaZohar, will become a Sifrei Mikufalim. In the Sefer HaZohar and in many tracts of Kabbalah, Nechshav HaMispar HaKolel Chamish V'Sholosh, it's considered 53. And they also gave a Simon Gan Elokim, Gan Eden, 53. Lechenu, be Sefer HaDeret Eliyol HaGrom Yivilna, the Holy God also says that there are 53. Vuhu Pelet. What do you mean? But there are 54. How does the Zohar and the Kupolim and the Vilna Goyen say 53? So he says, obviously, because they consider Truma Tetzava one, the Kodol Lefadish. Pretty close that we can figure out to say, Tamad over the reason is, Mishum Kikiyakua. The whole parsha of Tetzava, since in parsha of Tetzava, the name of Moshe doesn't appear. This is absolutely unusual for all of Torah. Mi parsha Shmot ad acharei parsha v'zot habracha. He's not correct there. It's not till after Zot Habracha. It's from Shmot until the end of Bamidbar. Because Moshe Rabbeinu already, as I said, doesn't appear in a number of parashas in Devarim. Okay? Now, v'lachem, next paragraph, nekrodo shel Moshe. Shelo yechzer ha-mezim, mizip v'shmot, b'kol parasha, nitzarfa parasha zu, tetzarfa l'parasha zu. It says, so according to the Mekupolim, the Kabbalists, according to the Gura and to others, there are 53, so that Truma and Tetzava are one, and therefore, we no longer have the problem of Moshe Rabbeinu's name missing. Okay, good. Now, he brings, in the next paragraph, he brings the Ba'at Turim that we already learned. I just want that little paragraph where I've underlined. He says about what the Ba'at Turim wrote, that Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear in Tetzava, that it is sort of a klala, or it is some kind of a negative aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu that his name doesn't appear. So the Torah Tumim says, "Avotam ze eino mustavi." This reason does not seem to be understandable. Ki dvorav, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Mecheni, omisifkecha, erase me from your book." He said that in the context of defending Klal Yisrael from the sin of the ego. It's noble. The noblest statement of all, Rav Moshe, Rabbeinu. And furthermore, he says, Parsha Kitisa comes after Tetzaveh. Why is his name missing in Tetzaveh? Okay, so I now, all that I want to say is right now I have a license to go ahead and see how I look at it. So I'll tell you how I look at it. Let's take a look, 4, 5, 6, let's go. 4 is Rav Kook. The Ayin, the Chenino, he brings also from the Zohar. Amr of the Zohar said, Shachasolov shall Moshe Rabbeinu be gedol mishrafon. The kindness, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was more than Avram. Avram Avinu, our father Avram Achadish, Shemitas Chazdo, Haytar Gedolam, Yodim Gedol, his chesed, that whole beginning of Parsha Vayero, 99 years old, third day after Bismillah, he calls in on this hot day, those three dusty strangers walking on the road, and he runs and he goes, he's running like a young man, just for Gmilas Milas Chesed. Even though Avram was great, and he was greater than Noah, he was not like Noah, so Bikish Rachman, or the Shoem Ben Eidoro, Rachman, Noah did not ask for mercy for the evil of his day. Despite that, Avram, when he did pray, it was in a sense conditional. Maybe you'll find 10 people in the city of stone. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he requested God's forgiveness, unconditional. Forgive them all. In Tisach HaKosam, if you will forgive their sin, find the Yemayin, the Kenyon Yisifra Asher Kotafta, erase me from the Sefer that you wrote. Shehi Mesiris Nefesh Afilu Mei Olam Havo. What he's really saying is, I want no part, I don't need Olam Hazeh, I don't need Olam Haba, erase me, I don't exist. Ki HaSefer what is the Sefer of Kodesh Baruch Hu? Olam Haba Batzman. Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to forfeit all on behalf of the Jewish people. Obviously, I'm making this connection. The Zohar looks at the words of Moshe, Mecheni Nom Yisifrucha, as the moment of Moshe Rabbeinu, the peak of his greatness. The peak of his greatness. I'm nothing. There was also another thought that occurred to me. I haven't seen the second place, but you know, we walk around nothing to do and just prepare urine, so you think of all sorts of things. You know what occurred to me? You know what would happen if Moshe Rabbeinu's name would be removed once from the Sefer Torah? I'll ask you better. What happens if one letter of Moshe Rabbeinu's name would be removed from the Sefer Torah? You know what it is? It's possible. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying? If you don't forgive them, I don't care if all your Sifrei Torah are possible. Your Torah is possible. Because your whole Torah is predicated on one thing. That there's going to be a people Israel that will be your eternal people. Without them, your Torah is nothing. Remove my name. It doesn't make any difference. Erase it. There's no Sefer Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. So now, according to the Zohar, who sees Mecheni no Yisifrucha, erase me, as being the peak of Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, I can therefore understand why there are 53 parshah, so that they, according to the Zohar, you can put Truma and Tetzaveh together, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu's name does appear in every parshah, because he sees Mecheni no Yisifrucha as the ultimate greatness of Moshe. If you want to go one step further, one step further. Number 5a, Rav Kook. Yesod Tmimus HaAvoda VaHachasidus HaMitzvah. See, this is quite a sentence. The very foundation of piety and true service of God is one thing. Shashlemut HaPrachit UChutato Eleah Lo Titfos Makom Klal L'umat Cheshto B'Shlemut HaKlam. Say what he's saying, and we read it again. The ultimate peak of serving God is when I, the individual, see myself as absolutely nothing in the presence of the greatness of the cloud. Cloud soil is the ultimate. And me? I'm ready to give up everything, everything for that people. I'll read it again, it's so beautiful. The individual's completion of himself, and his desire to make of himself, him, something special, has absolutely no place when it is faced with his desire that should be well. The Ishkazeh. And a person like this, somebody who has achieved this, that, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say it. Moshe Rabbeinu has no ego whatsoever. He is all only Klal Yisrael. Because of his intellect and his nature, who hachosid v'amiti, that is the true pious one, haholech batzat hasechel, who follows the advice of his mind, v'lo apir hadegesh shel aravat atzmo, and he does not conduct himself according to the feelings of self-love. Ego gets in the way of so many relationships. So I'll tell you, letting you in on a little secret, you know. For those of you who read Mishpacha, by the way, you don't have to read it, because I tell you what's exciting there anyway. The editor who lives on my block, you've heard about her already.
Oh, yeah.
We usually meet at the Makolet, and that's where the great battles of this generation are fought between me and him at the Makolet. But the scene changed a few weeks ago to my barber on the block. Oh, you West Hempstead has better hear about this. I'll tell you why right away. My barber on the block, one day I'm finished with the haircut, and who comes in? My neighbor Grilak, my antagonist. Oh, okay. Anyway, for the next 4 weeks, I think last week was the last time, that he wrote about a fellow called Rabbi Nahari. This Rabbi Nahari has a home for girls who have no home to live in. I know him, I've been helping him. He does wonderful, wonderful work. The whole world thinks this Rabbi Nahari is some kind of a saintly fella. He's my barber. But he's a wonderful fellow. He's a wonderful fellow. On his own, he raises the money himself. He has a home with about 15, 20 girls. He has a staff, and he keeps them there. In other words, they've been either thrown out of their homes or run away from homes, and he takes care of them until he can get them back either to the family or into society. I mean, there are problems. Why it's important for West Hempstead is because my barber called me the first time he calls me. Mindy Liebman. She's suggesting this place for the CIA appeal. I'm Pesach. I put a good word in, okay? Anyway, see, he told me one story where I got this haircut. That was a few days ago. He spent hours upon hours with a family that had thrown a girl out of the house. And if he got nowhere with them, then he asked the question, and the answer shook me as it shook him. And what happens if your daughter would do tshuva now and want to come home? Would you accept her? I don't know. You know what the answer I don't know means? I don't know means that his ego is all wrapped over here. It's not a matter whether she's from or not from. She's doing mitzvahs, she's not doing mitzvahs. She aggravated him. She rejected his way of life. And therefore, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. So I don't know why Hashgacha Pratis works like this. Lightning struck from my haircut. I went to the makolet. And you know who I meet at the makolet? Gorilla! I said, I'm coming from the barber. Did you hear this story? So he says, yeah, this is the problem with ego. When ego gets involved, whether it's husband and wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters, it's unbelievable. It's a destructive force in the world. Moshe Rabbeinu had reached the point where his ego was nothing. He was completely for Klal Yisrael. That's what Rav Kook writes. The level of this epic feeling is miraculous. The idea that a person doesn't let his ego get in the way. You know where we find this? By the greatest of all prophets, Shama. So Rav Kook also was saying that this is the peak of Moshe Rabbeinu's godless. The greatness is, I'm nothing, forgive them, erase me. I'll be nothing for all of time. I want to develop this further with an idea that is so many years ago from Rasal Reitzik. And he wrote it about a completely different thing. It had nothing to do with Moshe or the Imayim or Chenino, Misifrochashe, Katafta. He describes one of the, if we can call it one of the characters, it's one of the character traits of God Almighty Himself. Of the Rebbein Shlalem. And he says, the Rebbein Shlalem is the one who established the ethics, these are my words, the ethics of anonymity. When Hashem first appears to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says to him at the Sneh, Zeh Shmi Lo'olam, this is my name, Lo'olam. And Rashi points out over there, Lo'olam doesn't mean only to eternity, but there's no thought between the iron Let O, Ayin of Olamim. So the word can also be read as Olam. Olam meaning unseen, unknown. Ne'elam, disappeared. The Rebbein Shlalem is the artist who created the most awesome piece of work, except for one thing. He didn't sign his name at the bottom of the work of art. That already becomes the task of man, to find him in creation, to see him in history. Moshe Rabbeinu has picked up from the Rebbeim the idea of being anonymous. The Chof writes, there are 120 members of the... There were 120 members of the Anshei Knesset Abdullah, the men of the Great Assembly, were 120 in number. How many of them do we know? Can we mention the names of... Well, we know Shimon HaTzadik, who was one of the last of the members of the Knesset and Dolos. We know that probably Chagai is Charyu Malachi, but there are 115 members of the Anshe Knesset HaGadolah who established Torah for all time, and what they contributed. All of our davening is there. Shmona Esrei is there. The halachas of Muktze and Unog is an awesome part of Torah that was created by the men of the Great Assembly. We don't even know who they are. You know what? Because it was not important for them that anybody knew who they are. They're the ones who say, Hamidu Talmidim Harvei, make many students. Rav says the way to make students is if the Rebbe's ego does not enter into the picture at all. He removes himself. He has only one task, and that task is to pass Torah on to the next generation. And throughout Jewish history, it was so. True, Gedolei Olam were never really interested in themselves. It was not a matter of building great monuments to themselves for all time. They understood that they had a task to do. There was a certain limited amount of time in which they had to do it. And they gave themselves over completely to doing it. But their personal grandioseness didn't apply in any way. And therefore, because remember, Perkiova says, a person who's a kapdan, you know, who's a stickler, can't be a teacher. The teacher has to be one who removes himself from the equation. And that's only one thing in mind. Parents have to be able to remove themselves emotionally and be completely devoted to their children. Remember, I once told you about my shmigger, Alad Shalom. Always to say, you know, somebody said a bad word, somebody said something, you got upset. Let it roll off your back, you understand? Let it roll off your back, forget about it. The moment that you're going to start, look what he said, look what he did, you're in for serious, serious trouble. The Rebbein Shalom is the example par excellence of the anonymous one. You know where you really see him, so to speak? In Megillat Esther. He's running your whole show. But he doesn't appear at all. He's not there. He's running the whole show all the time. The other thing is, you know, I'd love to know what he has in mind, you know. He's taken the neshama out of us. I made a statement, you know, Kerry is the 15th Secretary of State of the United States who's coming here to resolve the problem. You know what it reminds me? I'm going to stop going off on tangents. This didn't happen in West Hempstead. It happened in Toronto. I was in Toronto before I came to Montreal. I was an experienced rabbi when I came to West Hempstead. One night, I think it was Hafdallah time, and the gambai starts opening the bottle of wine. Doesn't go. Everybody, Oshul is standing. He's turning red. Doesn't go. The president comes running over, grabs the bottle from him. Everybody's, and the president, he's turning redder. He can't get it either. Then the vice president came running over, grabs the bottle. Each one of them thinks he's going to be the place of people. So I think it was a 2-year-old did it, you know, because everybody already had loosened it up a bit. So I get these secretaries of state, everyone is moving in over here, he's going to solve the problem. Can you make chesed for me of the 15? Oh, you don't remember half of them. Muskie, Cyrus Vance, right. James Baker, Henry Kissinger, Madeleine Albright. How am I doing? How am I doing? Very impressive, huh? I spent the whole night learning them. You know what? Everyone has their ego invested over there. He's going to do it. I'm going to open up that bottle of wine. You kayaker that came before me, you couldn't open it, but I'm going to open it. You couldn't resolve the problem. I'm going to resolve the problem. And it makes no difference how bad a deal they're going to cut. They're going to cut a deal. When you have egos involved, disaster is knocking at the door. According to the Chambam, in a number of places, the Chambam says that if we can call one mitzvah more sublime than any other, that mitzvah is the mitzvah of v'halachta b'drachav. You should go in the ways of God. You should emulate Him. Just as He is merciful, so you should be merciful. Just as He is compassionate, you should be compassionate. He's gomel chasadim, you be gomel chasadim. One person alone, is able to achieve mahu anonymous, just as God is anonymous. He is anonymous. Moshe Rabbeinu, where? When he says, v'yim ayin, he becomes the ultimate anonymous one, the great on of Ma'od, the most humble one on the face of this earth. So you know what Parshas Tetzaveh is? I'll tell you what Parshas Tetzaveh is. The first one say, everybody says, Parshas Tetzaveh always comes out on the week of Zayin Adar, which is the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what Parshas Tetzaveh is? Parshas Tetzaveh is the ultimate hesped on Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the way Moshe Rabbeinu would have wanted to be remembered, that he didn't exist. Whatever he did was on behalf of Klal Yisrael. There can be no greater hesped than that. Now watch. It shivered me timbers, but number six, from where it's underlined, it's toward the end of Torah. The Sifri says, Kibbutz Shemet Moshe, when Moshe died, Koye Yoshua Boche Vitzoek Misabe Yoshua cried, called out, and was in mourning all of Yomim Rabim many days. Ad Shomar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yoshua, until the narration told Yoshua, Yehoshua, Ad Matai Tamit Arbeil V'Holeich, how long are you going to keep mourning for Moshe? V'chi L'chol L'Vadcha Hu Meit? Only to you he died? V'Haloli Meit? Can you imagine God saying that? I mourn his death. Shemiyom Shemeit Av Eivel L'Fanai, from the day that he died, there is mourning before me. Shedema, Vayikra Hashem Elokim L'Bechiyu L'Mispeiv. The Bechi and Mispeiv, the crying and the eulogizing of God, is upon the death of Moshe. V'lo od, Elishahu, Gonuz V'chaye Ye'ol Abbas, Shedema Yom Hashem El Moshe, Hincho Shokhev Im Avotecha, I'm going to keep him. We will see him again yet, but I mourn for him. Turn up. Where is it? Got to get there. Not sure which one. You know, I'm going to take the last one, the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma has something so unbelievable. There was a debate going on in heaven between Moshe and God. Moshe wants to live. Moshe wants to live. He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. And then there are all sorts of negotiations that are going on until Moshe gives up the fight. Botasha, at that time, Allah Moshe said, Ribbono Ha'olam, creator of the world, Ad Akshav Bikashti Chayim, up until now I've been asking for life. And now, that's it, I surrender. I give my life to you. The moment that Moshe Rabbeinu had already made peace with the idea that he's going to die, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam opened by saying the following, and this is in a sense his hesped. Listen to this. And he said about him the following. Mi yakum li imireim. I think is that. That's in Hayom Yom Revi. He'll say it tomorrow. Mi yakum li imireim. Mi yityatsev li impoaliyodim. And we usually explain it as meaning, who's going to stand up with me against the evil? Who will stand up side by side with me against the wicked? And you know how the Rebbeinu learns the pasuk? What a fascinating way. Mi yamod li Yisrael b'shas kasi. Who's going to stand up for Israel when I get angry? You know how the Medrash is learning mi yakum li? Who's going to stand up to confront me? Who's going to be the one who's going to stand there and tell me, Rebbeinu, call it. They're your children. They're the Eidekoch of Avon Yitzchak and Yaakov. You know what the Rebbeinu was saying? Can you hear what he said? You know, I need him. He's in a sense the Ezer Kenegdi. He is the one who comes to my aid and assistance by standing up against me. Who am I going to have now? Who's going to stand up on behalf of Klal Yisrael when I get angry? Who is going to stand there and wage war for my children? Who is the one that's going to ask for mercy for them? When they sin before me. Who's going to be there for Klal Yisrael? Who's going to be able to cancel me out and stop me? Baal at that time, Bo Matatar, one of the great Malachim, the Nafal upon him, and fell before God, and he said, Lefon of Rebbeinu Shalelam, Moshe Bechayov Shalachohu, Ubemoto Shalachohu. Moshe is yours, whether he is alive or he is dead. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Em Shalachom Mashal, Lemoah Dovah Dovah. God says, I'm going to give you a mashal, so you'll understand how I feel. A king who had a son. This kid was a brat, you understand? And every day he gets upset with his son and he wants to kill him. Because he didn't conduct himself with honor for his father. And who saved the child all the time? The mother, she would say. Now, by the way the Medrash is writing it, you see what his father's problem is? This father's problem is, if his son would do tshuva, he's not sure whether he would accept him back. This is a father who has his whole ego wrapped up in his struggle with his son. But who's the one that saves him? So the mother comes in. Liyamin. The mother died. Time passed and the mother died. And the king was crying. Ongelah, one of his servants said to him, Adonai Amela, king, great king, why are you crying, Olahem? I'm not crying about my wife alone. Who was the one who tamed me? Who stopped me? Who stood up against me? Who was the one that kept me on the straight path? It was her. If not for her, I'm lost. This is how Rebbeinu explains his relationship with Moshe. It's awesome. It's awesome. And all of that power of Moshe Rabbeinu is summed up in those few words. If you don't forgive them, erase me from your sefer. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who was able to confront God. You know what else emerges from this? God doesn't need Jews talking ill of other Jews. For that, there are enough kohanim in the world. And they do a very, very good job. I get very, very upset when Mishlutzich Mahagetzich. This one says this about that one, and that one says about the other one. These are no good. Those are no good. Show Shammai, for heaven's sake, there's a whole world out there that talks evil of us. So we need it. We need that kind of conduct to go on between us. The Russian wants to hear a Jew who speaks well with the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to be a Moshe Rabbeinu to be able to do that. Not amazing. You know, so there is something to read in the Jerusalem Post for those unfortunate souls who have it. They read the editorial today about a teacher in Haifa who was teaching this class that we don't own the land, it's not ours, the Palestinians, we're cruel to them. Or Thomas Friedman, who big New Yorkers, Thomas Friedman writing about the cruel and brutal treatment that Israelis act toward the Palestinians on the West Bank. Okay. Maybe you should watch. I think it may be one of these days, it may be on Arutz 7. I spoke last night at the protest tent near the Prime Minister's residence. The women in green, Nadia Matar, when she gives me instructions, I follow her instructions. So I said a shiur last night at 7 o'clock, you understand? And there were so many people there. But the most important thing is she had it videoed and she had it. Every kind of electronic device you wanted. And basically the idea that I expressed is, we got enough tzaras. We got enough tzaras from others. We don't have to make tzaras for one another. And there's just too much of it going on. There has to be the removal. We have to remove our own feelings or desires. We have to be able somehow to rise above and see what's best for Klal Yisrael. I mean, needless to say, of course, I said that a two-state solution is not a solution, and we're against that. It'd be the greatest disaster. And by the way, we get ourselves into the problem ourselves. It's all our fault. Mm-hmm. The moment we recognize that somebody else has a share in this country, boy. Mm-hmm. God, that was a tragic, mm-hmm. tragic mistake. Oslo was a tragic mistake. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to rise above the din. The Rebbe wants Jews. He wants Jews to be united, to stand together, and that's why I always get upset. I'm going to say something bad too. How do you like that? I'm going to say something bad too. I'm human. I'm trying to be like Moshe Rabbeinu. How long way to go? They believe that if you're in the opposition or head of the opposition, you have one mitzvah. Oppose. Doesn't make any difference what. I would like to see once in my life that the opposition stands together with the government and said, listen, we're here together, it's all of us. There are certain basic ideas that we all agree on. We're one people. I think the day that happens, Mashiach is going to be here. Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear in Parashat Tetzaveh because this is God's hesped on Moshe. He's eulogizing Moshe. Moshe made no difference whether his name would appear and be known for all of eternity. What was important to him was the Jewish people. His entire ego, he subdued completely to them. And that's why God says, me or kum li in the name. Who's going to stand with me side by side? Who is the one that's going to contain me and control me? Who's the one that's going to stand up and speak for you? Where I want. When Yeshua asks God, they have lost the battle of Ai. And he says, who was it that took from what they were not permitted to take? And the Rebbe gets angry with him and says, what do you think I am? I'm about Lashon Hara. You think I'm going to tell you Lashon Hara about the Jewish people? Not a chance, not on your life. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's able to rise above all of that. And his greatest moment, therefore, is Parshas Tetzaveh. That's why it's the week in which Zayin Adar appears. So that this is the eulogy, ultimately, that the man saw himself as nothing, everything for Klal Yisrael. That's it.
Take it out first. Pull it out. Close it.